I love raisins.
Good morning, good evening, good welcome on all, and welcome back to the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast with the shock news of the week that we actually had feedback from a listener. I don't know what's more concerning, the fact that we had a listener or the fact they cared enough to proffer an opinion. We will deal with that in the fullness of time when we're all having a glass of marmalade. In the meantime, on the opposite side of the screen to normal in her lovely, lovely hat, it's the lovely Laura. And over on the other side, it's the lovely John and the now mildly dubious Morgan.
Hello.
Morgan's career in comedy was somewhat short-lived. I blame the parents, personally.
They cancel Morgan. Yeah,
whoever they are. Yeah, Morgan is a victim of cancel culture. On the upside, Lawrence Fox has got a job for you, so you're okay. No one else can see that, but Morgan has got an absolutely nailed on death stare. Stone face, cold eyes, and you just think, oh, okay. You're going to go far in life, sweetie. You're good.
Absolutely.
Anyway, right, so how have you all been since last time? We haven't spoken to each other in ages.
I know, it must be at least 3 hours.
At least, if not slightly more. I feel we should mention that, actually, because you almost did get another record today.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Feel free to actually plug.
I thought you were actually watching what was going on, so I'm surprised that you're asking.
Well, because I thought it'd be a good way of introing the fact that we're going to talk about something you do that you might want to plug. I know.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you genuinely had just switched off and weren't paying attention. You were paying more attention to Cheers earlier on than you were to me playing Lost Levels.
Well, I was trying to do both, and I lost a little of both, but I was paying more attention to Lost Levels. But then Coach got engaged.
I didn't break any records. I broke my own records.
Cool.
But that means as soon as I submit this that I'll be the officially the 14th best Mario Lost Levels player in the world.
14th Ooh. Best.
14th as Luigi.
In the world.
At the Lost Levels, the Forgotten Mario classic.
See, I was getting quite confused watching that because the graphics reminded me of the Mario I used to play.
Yeah, because it is the Mario that you used to play, except it's the follow-up, which didn't get released over here.
So I assume
they didn't do very much to it.
They clearly didn't, did they? Because I assumed from the picture you showed me that it was like the SNES version or something.
It's the SNES version, so it's a little bit later on, but yeah.
Yeah, but the graphics hadn't gone up that much, had they?
Compared to the original, yeah.
Oh, okay. My memory is not that great.
Well, I'm sure that you'll be back on stream again, and I'll show you what the original looks like and how bad it looks compared to what I was playing earlier.
Okay.
I love the SNES kind of Mario game. I thought it was great. The Super Mario one.
No, you didn't see the PB.
No, you missed it. You had to go and work.
No, you weren't able to return, sadly.
Yeah, I had to go out to a meeting.
But that's fine, because you can watch the VOD at twitch.tv/AngelInterceptor. And find it there.
I believe, as the kids today say, link in the bio, whatever that means. am I right in thinking? Because I remember... Do what?
I was going to say, in the Lost Levels, are there like polar bears wandering about?
And running a mysterious... Mario lands on an island in an aeroplane and no one understands how he got there or why. Because I remember the Nintendo I had came with the gun and Duck Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So was that the original Nintendo or was that the SNES? That was the original.
So you didn't get the Nintendo Zapper, you got a literal gun. Came in the box with the Nintendo, like kind of smuggling racketeering going on from the Japanese in the 80s.
Yeah, I was living in rural Leicestershire. We all got guns. No, I can't remember what version of that Nintendo was. I think that was the original little square box.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Oh, it was cool once. I used to play Adam's Family on that. That was brilliant.
Adam's Family on the NES?
Yeah, because...
Which one?
It was the whichever the first one they brought out.
Okay, so the Addams Family.
Yeah,
okay,
and
that one's okay.
When you went into the freezer, you had to learn to stop walking before you wanted to stop. Because it kept going.
As you do when you go into a freezer.
Exactly. I mean, I hadn't walked in a freezer for a while when I played that game, so I'd forgotten that if you stopped walking, you kept moving for another three steps.
I've been in walking freezers, and I can tell you that the way that floors work in the game is exactly the same as real life.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I must, because I then went to work in a supermarket and was somewhat surprised to find members of the Addams Family in the freezer. It was just quite disconcerting.
Well, to be honest, I've seen members of the Addams Family walking around in our local supermarket as well.
So, speaking
of, to be fair, that's fine unless it's Thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
If it's Thing, although technically Thing wouldn't be walking around, it would be more of a fingering.
And you can't beat a fingering in your local Tesco.
We realised actually before there is scope for a weird Doctor Who Addams Family crossover.
I think this is more Torchwood territory.
Well, I'm just thinking the hand and the thing and
John's thing. John's thinking the fingering.
John does like the thing of fingering.
I do.
Right. So we're going to attempt to actually talk our way through an episode this evening, and it hasn't happened yet. But that was the request. We are watching tonight, as I scroll down my little blue boxy thing of dreams. No, we've watched that. We're watching The Time of Angels, I believe, this evening.
I think we are, aren't we?
We are indeed.
We're watching Time of Angels. Spoiler, River Song's Return.
That's it.
And the first episode of Series 5 that was filmed. So when everybody was getting all excited about the first pictures from the series coming out, the first pictures literally showed River Song outside the TARDIS being filmed.
Because the BBC do like a spoiler.
It was a bit of a spoiler. But this episode is kind of littered with spoilers, because I don't know if John remembers this. Do you remember who makes a surprising appearance in the opening?
Yes. I can't remember his name, but the guy from the streets. Laura, I can't hear you.
You've gone quiet.
I can't hear you. You've gone very quiet.
You've gone very, very quiet. No. It's like you're in the other end of the TARDIS.
Yeah, it does.
And with that, she's wandered off.
This guy from the streets, whose name escapes me.
Gary something or other? I don't remember him being in an episode of Doctor Who.
Yep, he's literally the first person you see. He's got lipstick on his face.
Can you hear me now?
Yay!
I can hear you.
Right,
now.
So Mike Skinner is
Mike Skinner.
So not Gary at all, then?
No, he got in shit for on Twitter, I think, for saying, "Oh, I'm in an episode of Doctor Who," so he's uncredited. Yeah. Moffat got so pissed off at the fact that he'd spoiled it. He doesn't get a name.
Excellent.
As far as I remember. I might be wrong about the crediting, but got into, had his scene completely shot down to about 5 seconds, and...
No. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Don't tell me we don't talk about episodes. Ha! A little bit of housekeeping while we're here. I've managed to queue up all the episodes from season 5 that we're going to be covering this time round.
Cool.
And so...
Including Vampires?
Well, this is what I was about to say. So, for the benefit of our listener, I'm gonna even name check her. Just check I've got her name right before I get the wrong person. Katie. Sorry, Katie. So we're doing Time of Angels today. Then we've got Flesh and Stone, Amy's Choice, Vincent and the Doctor, The Pandora Opens, and The Big Bang. Do we want to shoehorn in The Venice of Vampires?
We do. Yes.
I think
is that the game we're playing?
I think we might as well. I mean, John's looking slightly puzzled and confused now.
Yeah.
Possibly The Venice of Vampires, to be honest.
Well, that was true. That would do it for me. Oh, what do you reckon? Should we shove that one in as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that was a resounding vote of confidence.
I do like venison, so...
Wrong answer. This is a vegan podcast.
Is it?
Well, kind of by dint of the fact that if one of us is, we all are by inference.
Is it a It's vegan.
Raisins are vegan.
Raisins are very vegan. In fact, that's all we eat.
Oh. I mean, I could live off raisins too.
There we go. Morgan's just gone vegan. She's going to eat nothing but raisins for the rest of her life. Although she's now down to her last raisin.
Raisins strictly vegan though, because I remember the California raisins and they were sentient and were a living thing.
Ah, shit, yes, you make a very good point. Well, okay, so the California raisins, you can't eat those without their consent.
Okay, well, it's quite a liberal state, so yeah.
So I imagine they'd probably be pretty okay with it. But the other raisins, they aren't sentient because they haven't evolved enough, so they're okay.
It seemed like the Californian raisins, the raisin d'etre, if you will, were to be eaten. They seemed like they were advertising themselves. So I think that it would be all right for a vegan to eat a raisin.
I would like to posit the theory that is the best raisin joke you're ever going to hear. Morgan's looking confused.
Are you going to take that out of the final podcast, though? Are you going to prune it?
Hey! No, because if I do that, people start to grape. Right. So here we are, Time of Angels. The Doctor hunts the last of the Weeping Angels through the terrifying Maze of the Dead. Is he really that terrifying? It's not, is it?
It's pretty terrifying.
Is there anything we need to know or talk about before we... Any trivia?
I did go on IMDb trivia for this episode, but most of it is about Flesh and Stone, the second part, so...
Ah, well, that's no fun.
The only thing I think to say about this episode is it is the Graham Norton episode, which obviously Graham Norton will not be featuring in this version, but in the original, his face popped up at a pivotal moment in cartoon form and everybody complained.
Could you point out when that is when we get there?
It's right at the end. So if I remember, yes.
You're not going to remember. Because none of us ever do.
It's unlikely, isn't it?
It is. I'll try and point it out because I remember.
Yeah. Okay, we'll try and remember that. So then, are we ready?
We are.
In that case, as ever, dear listener, when we press play, you press play, and we will attempt to talk you through the Time of Angels, focusing in some way vaguely on what's happening on the screen. I make no promises beyond that. So, as ever, when we press play, you press play, and we shall begin in 3, 2, 1, and go. There you go. Oh, birdsong.
Yep.
There he is.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yeah, he doesn't get to say very much.
There he is. He's been kissed by a river song because she's fit, but my gosh, don't.
Either that or he's really shit at putting on lipstick.
Yep.
Either's possibly true. Do you know, I did not know that was him back then.
Yeah.
Didn't recognise him at all.
And that's pretty much it.
Yep.
Thanks for coming, Mr. Streets.
He didn't do a lot, did he?
He basically had... he was supposed to be in the whole episode. It was just him and River Song for the first part. And because he gave that spoiler away, he got it cut.
Was this another episode that was going to be David Tennant first off and then they changed their mind?
Well, to be fair, the episode is what? Is it less than 41 minutes? So it's like there's been about 2 minutes cut from the episode.
Yeah.
Gosh, what could have happened in those 2 minutes other than he did a song and dance number?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice gun. I like the fact that you don't actually know who this is at that point, technically, kind of.
Although everyone did.
Yeah,
because they saw the filming spoilers.
I really wish they wouldn't do that. I like the fact that we've still got Converse trainers in as well. Makes me feel like I can relate to the character.
How many churches do you know with this kind of museum-esque cracking?
Well,
seven.
At least four. There was going to be Norwich Cathedral was going to look a little bit like that this summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Dippy was supposed to turn up as part of Dippy's birthday tour. And then they decided that Dinosaur Bones could get coronavirus and they didn't want Dippy to die.
Dippy?
Dippy about the virus you got. The Diplodocus from the British Museum. I just assumed everybody knew it was called Dippy.
No, you were just saying Dippy and...
It was in Glasgow.
Oh, yeah, it got that far, didn't it? But yeah, it was supposed to be in Norwich for a month in July. And I was actually vaguely looking forward to going to the cathedral for the first time in my life. And then everything happened, so it never turned up.
There we go.
So now I will never know what a Diplodocus looks like.
I spent the first 32 years of my life calling it the Diplodocus because that's how it was pronounced when I was a kid.
I wouldn't swear to know how to pronounce it now. It's Diplodocus.
You and your modern pronunciations.
It's Diplodocus, I think. But I can never tell my Diplodocus from my Brontosaurus. So
one's got a longer neck.
Yeah, but I've never met one, so I've never been able to measure it, so I don't know.
Fair enough.
I mean, I know my Triceratops because nothing else looks like a Triceratops.
That's true. I just like this beginning sequence with River Song.
It's a nice reintroduction for her at this point, was not overplayed. And I don't think she ever reached a point where she was. She never felt unwelcome.
No, definitely not.
A lot of people didn't like her.
A lot of people stopped watching because of Matt Smith. So, you know, a lot of people are wrong.
Well, yeah, that guy the other day that didn't even make it this far.
No.
So.
I mean, imagine if he was the biggest River Song fan in the world and he's missed out on all this.
I know.
But I've always felt she fitted in and wasn't shoehorned. I mean, sometimes I felt, certainly towards the end of the classic era, the master was just kind of dropped in because they didn't know who else to have. Good as he was, it did kind of feel like you could have had another baddie or an alien or a monster, but no, more master.
You can say that, but any master appearance.
Possibly, yeah. But she always felt like she belonged, was part of the universe, and was fitting.
It's in the Masters, and the Master not in every single episode of John Pertwee's second season.
Is he really?
I think he is. I think the Master is the primary or secondary antagonist, at least in every single season 8 episode.
At some point, once I finish working my way through Star Trek as a match day superstition, my next plan is to go back to the very, very, very start of Doctor Who and work through every single episode. When I get that far, assuming the world is still vaguely sentient and we're still talking, I'll report back.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, football stopped and everyone's died. In that case, I won't get a chance to. But are we on new credits and new logo at this point? We are, aren't we?
We are. It's possibly my second favourite introduction. I prefer Series 7 when it was getting progressively darker through to Episode 5 of the first half of Series 7.
Yeah. I like the new look DW. I like that.
That was slated when it first made an appearance. It was. People hated it.
Stephen Moffat hated Russell T. Davis one because he thought it looked like a taxi logo.
I always used to think it was.
Yeah.
I think if we've come to know anything about this series, it's that the fans hate change.
I know, it's really bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah. I just can't get my head around how an entire universe centred around change brings in people who don't like it. I also do love, as an overall arc, how they piece River Song together.
Yeah.
The fact they actually get time travel right.
Yeah.
I know, which is a rarity in a show about time travel.
I like the fact that sometimes Doctor Who absolutely flies in the face of its own rules, and it's almost like they're kind of winking at the audience.
Yeah.
Matt Smith's pretty notorious for it, actually. we'll get to that later.
Well, I think Stephen Moffat kind of figured he knew what he was doing so he could do what he wanted.
Yeah.
This is true.
And he did.
When we get to the finale, it's just ridiculously brilliant, but it's unapologetic and therefore works, in my opinion. Because he's almost saying, oh, I shouldn't be doing this, but...
You're right. Mallet.
I've been coughing all day.
That's not a good thing to be doing in the current climate.
No, well, I haven't been out, so it's fine.
Oh, okay, then.
Nobody will judge me.
Well, we can judge you if it makes you feel better. I like the new chairs in the TARDIS as well. I think I liked this TARDIS. Possibly prefer it to Capaldi's and definitely prefer it to Tennant's.
I like it more than Jodie's at the moment because we've barely seen the interior of the TARDIS.
That's true, actually. We don't get a lot of TARDIS time, do we?
We don't get a lot of TT, no.
No.
Matt Smith is probably my favourite. This particular one, I think it changes, doesn't it, from Matt Smith?
Yeah. In very subtle ways, but yes.
Well, I don't remember that.
Well, you do see more of it. In fact, you probably see more of the underside of the TARDIS console in Matt Smith's era than anybody else's.
Absolutely.
The amount of time that he spends underneath it.
Yeah, that's true.
Fixing shit.
Yeah.
Like you would expect he would have to do, because he always kind of allude to the fact that he's constantly pottering and fixing stuff, but you generally don't see it.
No.
I think it was his TARDIS that you got to stand on, the console that you got to stand on at the Doctor Who experience or exhibition, whatever it was called, before they got rid of it.
Last time I went to that was 2000 and... I want to say 9, possibly 8, so that wasn't there then.
No, I went in...
The first time I went to Cardiff Bay to the Doctor Who experience, it was tiny. That was like 2007,
yeah.
And it was right after the end of Series 3, so the newest thing in there was John Simms' Parry Saxon suit.
Yeah.
By the time I went again, we'd had these specials, I think, and they'd added an extra couple of rooms, but... From when you're talking, I don't know how much they expanded it.
It
was like 4 rooms when I first went.
Oh, they expanded it a lot then. I went in 2016 and there was a games room, console room, whole floor dedicated to monsters.
It was on one floor when I went.
No,
so.
It was two floors when I went.
Was it still inside the Dragon Centre then though? Because didn't they move it?
You have the
Dragon Centre at Cardiff Bay, which has got the cinema and everything else, or had.
No, they moved it. I think they moved it. It was more out on a bit of, sort of on the edge of the area with a sort of bit of wasteland of car parky stuff. It was kind of a bit on its own when I went there. So I think they'd moved it to a bigger site.
Sonic is a really weird word to read in subtitles. Does Sonic have a K?
Not as a rule, no.
No, that just looks really weird.
But it's not a word, though.
It does tend to be spelled with a C.
It deserves a K, I feel.
Yeah, but then you'd have to rename Sonic the Hedgehog.
Only if it was Sonic'd.
That's true.
And to be Sonic'd by Sonic the Hedgehog has different connotations entirely.
That's very true.
Absolutely.
Isn't he a vaguely famous, well-known actor person?
Yes.
Or only in as much as been in stuff rather than known for a thing?
I don't...
Oh, well, I'm up to speed now. I know which one we're on.
I remember this being the first mention of the effectively what comes up quite prominent in Series 6.
Yes. The whole
idea that there's this religious cult now. I mean, this episode ties into the Silence just because of the clerics.
Yeah.
Like, it's an army, but it's also a religious cult.
It sets it up quite nicely.
Mm. I mean, at this point, it just seems like it's, I don't know. Like it's just one of those fun things that's just stuck in the script. Oh yeah, they're clerics, but obviously it makes more sense when you get to A Good Man Goes to War.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely. I do remember what this at the time quite liking the juxtaposition of, because obviously you didn't really know that much about them at this point, and you got this lovely juxtaposition of the Doctor working with the military. Which outside of unit has never been something he's been comfortable with.
It's also quite interesting as well, because when you're talking about this leading into kind of story arcs, up until this point, you think that Stephen Moffat's very much going down a Russell T. Davis route, where at every point, every episode's got to have, oh, there's cracks in time, or so, you know, and he lulls you into that false sense of security that his kind of version of story arcs are going to be the exact same as Russell T. Davis. Like, every episode has to end with, oh, look at that, that's a crack that looks like the crack in Amy's wall. and then, you know, they actually just kind of pull it out a little bit. And of course, you know, completely, obviously the cracks are very important to this year's story arc, however. Well, actually, you know, they are the story arc this year, but however, it's about something bigger.
Yes, that's very true. But I also like, well, I prefer an episode without Rory in anyway.
Okay. Early on, I kind of get that, but even after the first, yeah, he's a doofus appearance, I warmed to Rory really quickly.
I did.
I think I possibly warmed to him more in later seasons, but in this first season, then no, I could have lived without him quite happily. But I like...
Maybe one day you'll get the chance.
What, to warm to him?
No, to live without him completely.
Well, I could do it now and just never watch another episode of Doctor Who, but that seems like I'm cutting off my nose to spite my face.
Just go on Dead Joke Spy and tell everyone.
I need to do that. I need to go on a modern Doctor Who forum and go, I can never watch another episode with Rory in, having watched them all once and several of them twice.
And with Rory not being part of the series in 8 years.
Yeah. I feel now is the time.
He's on Big Finish series now.
But then, like I said, I couldn't get on with him in DC's Legends of Tomorrow. And granted, I only tried one episode.
He's not even in this episode. We should be concentrating on what's happening right here.
It's really, really hard work to actually try and talk about the episode.
It is.
I mean, I prefer the Ron Perlman approach to director's commentaries, where he just randomly talks about crap. Not that that was the inspiration behind this, but...
I will say that I like these episodes, and I like any story that River Song's in, and I do like Stephen Moffat's arc. However, I still don't like the angels in this.
Oh, because of what they do in comparison to what they do every other time.
Yeah.
Different type of angels, though, isn't it? Or not necessarily a different type of angels, but these ones are...
Well, they're not. They can't... unless...
Reborn and rabid and...
Unless there is an inference that they've evolved, because... They are further ahead in general time and as well as his time than Blink, aren't they? So the angels could have evolved.
But kind of
these are supposed to be earlier than Blink, aren't they? They've just been locked effectively.
I've always
taken it that the four angels in Blink were the last four.
But the Doctor has met the angels, hasn't he? Do what?
It's a time travel show.
Yeah, but you've got to think in terms of his own personal timeline within the construct of the whole thing. It's very confusing.
I'm not sure I particularly agree with Laura that they were the last four, but I'm not sure that it means that these angels are later. definitely the angel that was in the name of the ship, the name of which completely escapes me because I'm not paying attention. Right. That angel's not, but the angels that they find within the cavern are ancient, like they've been there for millennia.
Yes.
Right. So there's definitely a kind of oldness about them there. But this angel to me is no older than the angels we see in Blink, but acts completely differently because it's like...
No, I get that, but how would you age an angel anyway? Do you cut them open or...
Yeah, you cut
the rings?
Yeah, you cut them in half.
But I suppose to an extent as well, because they kind of feed on time, don't they? And people's kind of, you know, because that's the way they work. Do they not basically steal their life energy from the time of people that they send back in time, sort of?
Yeah, it is. Well, it's never really established, is it, whether they send the one who wasn't Sally Sparrow back to the 1920s.
Yes.
Did that one particular angel gain 80 years?
Yeah. So I suppose to try and time them a little bit is probably difficult. And again, we don't know enough about them. However, it's the fact that, you know, that the thing about them here, the thing about them in future episodes, the thing about them before this, in future episodes, you look away, you blink, they grab you. Right, you and they basically wheel you back in time or whatever, and then but in this one it's like more or less can't look at them through televisions. If you look away from them, you're in trouble. If you look directly at them, you're in trouble. What the hell do you? You know, it feels like they, at this point, Stephen Moffat saw them as kind of almost one trick ponies. Thought we need to do something different with them.
I think,
and then reverted back.
I think there's an element of playing fast and loose for the sake of a dramatic story.
Quite possibly, yeah. But at the same time, I would imagine it crossed his mind, well, we can just do what we did before with the angels and we can have them transport people back in time. However, that's not really going to work for this episode. I really want to use the Weeping Angels. I have to change pretty much one of the most interesting things about them.
Yeah, that's very true. But then you could...
I mean, it does get explained, but... I mean, by the time we see them again, it's back to normal with them.
Yeah.
So and to be fair, I prefer this version of the Weeping Angels than I do the fucking Empire State Building being one, so...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that one. When does it get explained? Is it explained in part two? Or have we talked over the explanation already?
No, it's... Well, nobody's been murdered by one yet, so...
Yes.
Somebody wrote a book on the Weeping Angels, didn't they? Which they've discovered, and again, we've been talking over it. But the Weeping Angel, more or less... It's bullshit. It's like, if you look at the image of an angel, you actually have the angel, and you're just like...
Well, you see, it's not really... I mean, what happens next is definitely a whole new development.
Yep.
But then it could be an element of they've learnt how to use technology, which previously they hadn't needed to know how to use.
Do you know how they could have got around this? They could have called them something else angels and said, oh, they're distant relatives, or not so distant relatives of the Weeping Angels.
Yes.
And then you said, these ones work slightly differently, rather than, you know, you could have just been, these are the crying angels, or, you know,
yes.
Yep, and then you know, obviously, I would like to think Stephen Moffat would come up with something better off the cuff than me calling them the crying. But just say, you know, they do that stuff all the time. They go, oh, they're you know, they did it with the Ood. They said, oh, they're distant relatives to the Sensorites or whatever. And you're just like, oh, right, who gives a fuck, right? And you just kind of go on with it.
So there could have been these slightly morose angels.
Yeah. Okay, I go, why the long face angels?
I'll just give us a smile, love angels.
you'd look so much prettier if you smiled at the angels.
Cheer up, it might never happen, angels.
Go on, give the smile up.
Of course, it's the episode where Amy's mascara is constantly getting into that little portion in the corner of your eye.
Oh, don't you hate it when that happens?
I mean, of course, there's a very good reason for Amy needing to be blind. Well, which I don't think we really get into too much till episode two. But what amazes me about this, we will talk about it in the second part, is the amount of people that went onto the forums and actually worked out what the hell was going on.
There was also the amount of people that said, that's a continuity error.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Tons went, of but, them.
Yeah, but to be fair, I'm not sure we can criticise people for banging on about continuity errors, given that the last episode we had to rewind twice.
Just to humour me, yes.
You know, I'm not sure that's a particular hill we need to be exploring to die on anytime soon. So, yeah, we won't talk about the... We can mention the continuity points because I'm intrigued because I'm not sure I've spotted any. But don't mention the other stuff until we get there. Let's not spoiler it for people.
If anybody is using this as a kind of gauge for watching Doctor Who for the first time, then bloody hell.
this podcast is going to be playing alongside Doctor Who episodes in future years in college media studies classes to show exactly how not to do it. Yeah. So, you know.
When you're critiquing something, don't do any of this. I would like to think that if they're going to do that at all, that they at least use the first one we ever did, because I think that was an absolute masterclass in how to be professional. I think that's the one where no one could understand a word I was saying by the end.
Six months later, yeah. And that's all fallen apart.
Is that the one you had to listen back to the next day because you couldn't even remember recording it?
That's the one, yep. I had no idea if I'd even press stop at the end.
In your head, you're still going, why is Sylvester McCoy not in this anymore?
I mean, I've seen that film so many times now, which is, I seem to end up watching films I don't like quite regularly. But I still can't tell you what happens because the last time I watched it, I don't have any memory of the last half hour of that film. It's not quite as bad as the whichever episode it was. Oh, that mascara's quite dry, isn't it? I don't know, I can't remember which episode it was, but the one that saw 2/3 of a bottle of Southern Comfort Black disappear, I genuinely have no idea what happened that night. Enjoyed myself, but I don't know what episode we watched.
I enjoyed The End of Time, which I never thought I'd say out loud.
I mean, I do enjoy the end of The End of Time.
Yeah. I did really enjoy just, Saturday daytime drinking. There's nothing like it.
There really isn't. It's a great way to spend the day.
It was fantastic. And
I quite like the fact that I managed to balance out half a bottle of Four Roses Bourbon with the last three cups of tea from the tea box. I wasn't going to give those up. Now, if you do that in a pub, people are going to think you're weird. But doing it at home, it just felt quite natural.
Yeah. So I've pre-ordered the Time Lord Victorious book that's out tomorrow as well. Should probably bring that up.
Oh, is that the novel?
Yes.
Because I've now got the comics on order, and I'm going through those issue by issue. I didn't know there was a novel I needed to get.
Yeah, there's a novel tomorrow. I can't even remember what it's called, but I've still not read anything. I've not read the comic. I've got the annual now. I've got the magazine, and I'm almost just kind of. I think I'll just start reading it, and then suddenly go, "Oh, I've finished now," and now I've got to wait a month. So I was going to wait till the second issue was out, and
yeah. I'm kind of already regretting reading the first issue because it was good, but I've already forgotten what happened. Because in the same afternoon, I read Buffy, Angel, Spider-Woman, and I think there was a Harley Quinn issue. No, Black Widow issue kicking around. So, it all kind of blurs a bit.
I just read the first issue of the new Spider-Woman,
I'm just really confused now because I don't understand why the Doctor was once part of the Scree.
Did you read it on the web?
Hey! Oh, I did.
Nice one.
Sorry, I just realised I hadn't said anything for a couple of minutes.
Morgan liked that one. That's the audience for that joke.
I'm currently nostalgic for the Irish teacher joke.
It's fine if you go to any joke from about 1982, Morgan, you'll find other classics just like that.
Oh, God, right, though. Honestly.
Until after the podcast.
Yeah, or never.
Oh, God, she wasn't planning to do another joke, was she?
Yeah. was going to do another joke there.
Save that for next time, sweetie. But don't give it all up at once.
Yeah.
Why do they have cleric? I know they are clerics, but why would they put cleric on the uniform? That just seems like a horrendous amount of time that each person has with somebody there just threading the word cleric. Because I don't know if either of you did like sewing and school.
Yes, I did actually.
Yeah, like cleric and making it bendy so the C isn't just one like three straight lines.
Yeah,
like, that takes a while. But they've got cleric every single time.
But then you see, if you notice, it's an entirely male unit. So there's probably a couple of people back at base who either got a note from their mum, or they let girls in but only allowed to do simple jobs like filing and sewing.
Well, the episode's from 2010. It was a different time back then. We know this.
Well, exactly. I mean, they've got as far as having people having black soldiers in there. So, I mean, that's progress. In the meantime, the female officers are all back at base stitching the word cleric into the uniforms.
And it's because it's the future, it probably does it itself.
That's true. I mean, one of the bits we have that they don't show in this is actually at least a couple of the soldiers turn around to River Song and ask her to get a cup of tea.
Yeah. I'd love to see her that pan. Considering there's a point where a Dalek asks her for mercy.
Yes.
a word which they don't know.
Well, to be fair, there's quite a lot of words Daleks don't know.
Maybe it's a French Dalek.
Yeah, exactly. Diplodocus, there's another one.
Sausage. Let's just go through Blackadder ones.
Sausage! Sorry.
Right, you're not a dog, Morgan.
I don't know that Morgan's now. I love the wallpaper you've got, or the wall covering you've got in that room, because it currently looks like Morgan is at the back end of a warehouse.
Yeah, it's not wall covering. It was painted on the wall in the 1880s.
Wow.
We covered it, yeah. It's as old as the flat. We had the worst wallpaper in recorded human history when we moved in here, and we stripped it down and found this stuff behind us. And we actually had somebody from the National Trust up, and they carbon dated it, and they took about 1,000 photos of it. It's all around the entire house, and all around this entire room.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, some of it's kind of eroded away, and we can't kind of help it, but we've saved as much of it as we could. It's all different spots in Scotland.
Oh, that's amazing. It does, genuinely look like Morgan is currently on the set of a Doctor Who story.
I'll give you a virtual tour at some point.
Well, tell you what, sod it, we'll just actually try and, once all this is over, actually try that whole thing of meeting in person.
Yeah, that would be amazing. You're always welcome here.
We could actually do one of these podcasts live.
I feel privileged that I've met the both of you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're the only one.
Not met Morgan.
No one's met Morgan. Morgan doesn't really exist.
Not even real.
Morgan, as soon as she leaves the room, she ceases to exist. We established that earlier.
Yep.
Met Cam before.
No, you haven't.
You have?
No, you haven't.
I've only been to Glasgow once in my life, and that was in, I don't know, twice, three times, but that was back in 2006, 2007.
But when would you have met
Cam? I've only been to Glasgow on the way to Edinburgh.
Yep.
Like an hour away to Glasgow bus station. That's it.
Yes, I'm pretty sure, and I think Cam's pretty sure as well. Bloody hell.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
He's met you before.
I mean, unless for some reason you were working in Forbidden Planet in Glasgow in 2009, which I think is unlikely, then I don't think we've met.
To be honest, I've been pretty surprised I didn't meet you, because I used to almost live in Forbidden Planet in Glasgow back in 2009.
Well, whichever year the second Twilight film came out. Laura, I'm looking at you for the date.
Fuck off.
I
have no idea.
No, I don't care either. I did have to go and watch that in a cinema in Glasgow. And God, it was awful.
Didn't have to do anything.
Well, I did. I was married to her at the time.
The angels.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, TV episode. Things happening. Oh, look at that. Well, that's a thing. There we go. Look at that. Who says we can't discuss the episode as we go along, eh?
God. Oh, no. Oh, my God. They're coming back to life.
No, they can't be. They can't be because they don't look right. They're not. They're different and wrong.
You can tell that this was the first scene ever recorded by Matt Smith, seeing as he's got this weird kind of goofy, not shocked, but pretending to be shocked look on his face.
Yes. It's the one thing I never understand with Doctor Who is why they always film the first scenes for the new Doctor around about episode 5, episode 6. Because what you get is entirely out of sync with what you get.
Dictates that they can spend all the money. Like, obviously, I don't know where this was filmed, but I'm going to take a guess that this was quite expensive to build.
Yes.
So the budget needs to be spent early on shit like this, and this is what gets filmed first. And then the later episodes, like the Lodger, the cheapy episodes.
Yeah, fair point.
Will be last.
And to be honest, the Matt Smith's first episode wasn't high up in the budget stakes, was it?
No, I don't know where that was in the filming schedule.
No, but there wasn't a lot going on there in terms of special effects and set building.
It was literally the Atraxi and a bit of broken glass in the hospital window.
That's it. Which they had to replace, bless them.
I always thought that the reason they never filmed the first episode first, and I think it's been like every time.
Oh, they've never done it, yeah.
But
they've never done it. It's always they start about 4 episodes in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I thought that the main reason for it was that they wanted to bed the new actor in before you saw them in their debut. So like Martha's episode, I think they wanted to almost get used to the character so that the first episode, like you said, Matt Smith's kind of kicking about, kind of going, oh, I'm Matt Smith. Whereas if you have that kind of vagueness about their first episode, you go, well, he's shit, isn't he?
I kind of take that.
It's not the case for Companions, though, because I might be wrong on this, but I'm like 80% sure that Bells of St. John was Olivia Colman's first. Olivia Colman.
Susan Murray's going to shoot you.
Well, it definitely wasn't, because she'd been in 2 episodes before that.
No, but that was her first episode that was filmed. Of that series, as that character, exactly that character, not the other 2 characters.
Okay.
She only ever played one person. She was the impossible child or the impossible girl all the way through. It was quite cunning.
Classic Moffat.
Oh, yes. Classic. Yes. I've got this mysterious...
It's Bob's bit.
Oh, good old Bob.
Here you go. Here's the description. Angels don't do that.
Angels don't do what?
They don't kill you. They don't snap your neck. They displace you in time.
Ah, there we go. So you won't die. You'll just not live here anymore.
It is mentioned.
There we go.
And then they just go, ah, fuck you.
Pretty much.
But I don't know, Morgan, because if it's not relevant, I'd be really annoyed with you.
And he's also talking into a very, very early version of a taser for no apparent reason.
Right, okay, Morgan's got something to say, apparently, which is probably going to make or break the episode.
Oh, no.
Okay, we're almost into Graham Norton territory.
Yeah, go on.
Pivotal moment, which we'll talk about for another reason as well.
You know how God said that the angels don't kill you?
Yeah.
But you send you back in time?
Yeah.
What if they sent you so back in time that you went...
Love that line. I love the line that once you've gone away in your little blue box, I'll explain it to their families.
That is a very good line. I think Morgan has made a good point that you talked over, Laura, because you were trying to talk about the episode. What if the angels send you so far back in time, you go back beyond the point where you were born, ergo you're technically dead?
But every time...
No, you can't. It calculates how much life you have.
There we go. Answers that question. Does that satisfy your curiosity, Morgan?
I've got another thing to say.
She's got a follow-up question.
I like the way she showed...
What happened to not Sally Sparrow? She was supposed to have been born in, like, 1982 or something.
That's true. I like the way...
83, and she got sent back to 1920-something, so...
I like the way Morgan is shouting these questions from the back of the room rather than, you know, being close to a microphone. But...
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
What's your follow-up question, Morgan?
Okay, so this bite scene, this is something I remember from the IMDb trivia, is that Matt Smith literally bit Karen Gillan.
Oh.
He bit her?
Twice.
Cool. I would too.
Actually, just went down and bit her.
Well, we've all wanted to be there.
To get the right reaction. So he was involved in the role and the production because he wanted the best out of Amy.
He's a bit method, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, he's definitely method. He actually learned how to travel through time and space, which is kind of like a Daniel Day-Lewis kind of methodology to his acting, I feel.
It's like Dustin Hoffman without all the bad stuff.
Michael Keaton went and fought crime dressed in a really stupid outfit. Yeah, it was that kind of thing, yeah. Robert Powell actually became Christ. Anyway, there's a Jesus of Nazareth reference on this podcast. Fucking hell!
Can I say another thing?
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Ask that question.
Oh god. It's
worse. Okay. You know how this doctor here put his fingers in custard. Well, he reminds me of fish fingers in custard. And then he looks like fish fingers in custard.
What?
Matt Smith looks like fish fingers in custard.
Morgan, it looks like she's not coming back on the podcast.
Oh, please.
What show was Graham Norton's cartoony face advertising, John? Do you remember? Was it like Any Dream? It was like the Andrew Lloyd Webber one, wasn't it?
I guess. Any Dream Will Do, yeah.
It was Any Dream Will Do, so...
Because that was the big show at the time.
You've got all of this going on, and because that program's coming up next, why is that guy shining his torch towards Amy's... Anyway, that was weird.
Again.
That was really weird. I've never noticed that before. So this is all going on, and then all of a sudden, cartoony Graham Norton appears in the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, oh, would it have been Any Dream Will Do, or was it the other one where they were looking for...
Joseph.
Well, they did the woman one. And I can't remember.
I think it was a Joseph one, but I'm not 100%.
They did two musicals, didn't they?
They did, and they got Andrew Lloyd Webber on TV for far too much time of your Saturday evening.
Oh, God, yeah, totally. It was the Sound of Music one. Whatever that one was. They were trying to find, is it Maria?
How'd you solve a problem like Maria?
That's the badger.
That was it?
Yeah.
There was one or two of us.
Yep.
Here we go. So this is the point where he suddenly popped up and everybody was just like, you've ruined the episode. So I think they had to repeat this.
They were repeating them anyway.
But I think they moved it to a primetime spot.
Did they? They put a primetime repeat to make up for the Graham Norton.
Just because of Graham Norton's face appearing.
They were showing them on Saturday nights and then they were repeating them on BBC Two the next Friday. So you were seeing the BBC. So some people were again now and this kind of, you know, you're in the world of iPlayer now and you just wonder why they would repeat anything.
iPlayer was around then. Oh, and also, I said we mentioned it, Doctor with a gun.
Oh, yes.
Having made so much of a point in the end of time that the Doctor would not use a gun unless properly provoked at the end of the episode.
As a... Finale, oh get me being all posh. As a finale to the episode, it was rather sort of, oh hang on, he's just fired a gun. Or if I may, look out, he's got a nug. Sorry.
I love just that closing monologue with Matt Smith as well. I actually think he delivers it just perfectly. You know, we're talking about this.
Yeah.
First things, there's one thing you never do with
I must admit, it looked like that was the moment. Where he found the Doctor, if you know what I mean, in acting terms, because he suddenly
But it was the first thing filmed.
Yeah, but he really owned that whole scene and that whole moment. He was absolutely. Excuse me.
I stand corrected. By the way, I've just gone back. Mike Skinner's name is in the credits.
Oh, so he was slightly forgiven.
In the credits, but he did have a ton of stuff cut out. So.
Oh, I'd forgotten how good that. Oh, the next episode is going to be amazing.
Yeah, no, the next episode is the next episode. The next episode, it's a lot kind of, there's a lot more moving in the next episode, whereas, you know, there was a lot of Amy sitting about, rubbing her eyes and looking at screens and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
There's a bit more momentum in the next episode. Mike Skinner was originally, his part was a lot bigger than this, as Laura said. That was the reason that they cut Mike Skinner out, was the reason they had to bring River Song back, because originally Mike Skinner was supposed to play all of River Song's bits.
Oh.
Which would be really weird when Amy's asking Mike Skinner, are you his wife?
That would seem to be more of a Russell T Davies storyline, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And it would have been awesome. And we could have actually had Mike Skinner in three seasons of Doctor Who with his entire, what is Mike Skinner's relationship with Matt Smith. And
That would have been brilliant.
Ian, Good Man Goes to War would have been just phenomenal.
The soundtrack would have been good.
Yeah.
So there we go. That was whatever episode we said it was. I've already forgotten. I knew someone would know. I'm glad at least one person was paying attention around here. And that was obviously, as we've talked about before, that was one of the endless two-parters where it isn't actually billed as a two-parter and it has part two as a second episode title. Oh, Morgan's waving at me. And that was it. That was that. I got interrupted.
I found the deleted tweet.
Oh, go on then.
From Mike Skinner. You wouldn't believe the week I've had. I can't talk about it, but let's just say I got a part in Doctor Who. Can't talk about it.
Yeah.
I've signed a confidentiality agreement.
As they would say in the Guardians, the Fiver. I can't talk about it. He said, very much talking about it.
The new full series of Doctor Who will air next year following four one-off specials featuring current Doctor David Tennant this year. It isn't known whether Skinner will appear as himself or in a rubber monster suit. Stay tuned.
I'm betting Moffat's wishing he'd done the rubber monster suit now. But I thought that... I think there are problems with that episode with, as you said, the continuity in as much as what the Angels can and can't do. But that aside, I thought it was a very nice, dark, tense and dramatic episode.
Yeah,
I enjoy it more than rewatch, as if I actually watched a second of that there. I definitely enjoyed it more. On rewatch, I enjoyed it more when I was watching through them again with Morgan than I did originally.
Yeah.
I always thought that that was a two-part that was let down by the first part.
Well, this is actually an interesting comparison to make, which I think we probably, in theory, you're four episodes into the Matt Smith's run now, so you can make it. I'm already enjoying Matt Smith's episodes on rewatch more than I enjoyed rewatching Tennant's episodes.
Is that because you're more familiar with Tennant's episodes, though, and you've been watching them?
Well, I'm wondering whether it's because I'm more familiar with the Matt Smith ones, because they're closer to my memory capability, if you see what I mean. I'm wondering whether that's possibly a factor. But they are already... I don't know whether it's... They just feel... Because doing it this way, you get a more immediate comparison season to season. And I think because the final Tennant season felt so flat compared to how it started... And it did kind of drag. And the end of time was bloody endless.
Which is why it was such a good idea to do both episodes back to back.
Oh, wasn't that fun? Let's do that again. So, we kind of get to do that when Matt Smith goes. And that's a long old drag as well. Because Matt Smith is suddenly this massive breath of fresh air. When this whole new vibrancy arrives from... before.
Matt Smith's is a drag, but it's one episode.
Yeah,
it's a normal-ish length episode.
It's an hour, isn't it?
It's not two episodes, though.
No, it's not 2 hours, 25 minutes.
And before that, we have the first three of the Doctor trilogy, so...
Yeah. So, yeah, my memory at the time was the Matt Smith one was kind of a bit overblown.
I like Time of the Doctor, but we'll come to that.
Yeah, we will. We will.
I really like Time of the Doctor.
I suspect I'll probably like it more this time round, but it's certainly...
It's a Christmas episode, so it's notoriously going to be a little bit shit, but I think it's done well.
Yes.
It doesn't deserve half the crap that it gets.
I've got one qualm about it, but we will get there, as Laura said.
Yeah, we don't need to qualm now.
Yeah.
No, it's three series away, so that's probably going to be about 18 episodes, and
so we should be doing
months.
That. Yeah, because we'll get there by the end of the year.
It'd be beautiful if it was time for Christmas Day, so we can do this on Christmas Day. Nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to care if we're suddenly in here. I've already said that I'm streaming, so
I strongly suspect that. If I even remotely suggested I have to spend 2 hours doing a podcast on Christmas Day, I may find all my stuff on the front lawn. Might not.
That's good before you know it.
How many spare rooms did you say you had?
Yeah, there's enough room for you. Come on up.
You haven't seen how much stuff I've got.
What was I going to say? You've just reminded me by talking about that the episodes that we're watching are only on the iPlayer for another 2 months.
What?
Yep.
You're kidding. We might hit a slight logistical bug.
Where does it say that now? Because it used to say available for blah, 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 blah.
Hang on. On
like beneath the episode.
On the...
Hang on. Is it in the information now?
Yeah,
available for 2 months. He's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's right.
Deleted 12 p.m. Thursday, the 3rd of December, 2020. Shit.
Is that the same for all of them? They'll renew it. They'll renew it. Unless there's some kind of issue with Netflix also having the episodes.
No, I think we're going to be all right if we all just hop across to BritBox.
Because they've done this before with Doctor Who, in that they've said that there is all episodes are going to be available for the next 12 months, and it's got to a month before, and they've just been renewed. It just depends whether Netflix play arseholes with it, because Netflix UK have an agreement with the BBC to use them as well. So,
but you've got to bear in mind the BBC is now partly involved with BritBox.
Yeah.
And in the same way that ITV seems to think Midsummer Murders is a massive draw, and so they've held that back off normal telly and put it on BritBox. Whether the BBC are going to do the same thing with Doctor Who, they'd already put it up.
They're not going to risk not having Doctor Who on iPlayer.
No, they can't, can they? They can't.
They won't.
Oh, God. So we basically have to do one a day.
We don't have to do one a day, however, that gives us at the moment a 2 month window.
Well,
to at least get to the end of Matt Smith, and then we'll have to work something else out. But
yes,
it'll be fine.
We'll find a way around the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right, on that bombshell, I feel troubled now.
You should do if you're quoting Clarkson.
No,
if that's how you're going to start ending episodes, I want out, or I want John replaced by James May.
I just assumed John was James May.
I'm in the haircut.
Although, that would make you Hammond.
No, it'd make Morgan Hammond. Hammond Morgan.
Hammond Morgan, how are you getting out of this? Because if I'm suddenly the former journalist and bigot, and he's the foppish shed owner. And
two things. One, I want to see you getting pissy over a steak. And secondly, I'm so proud of the pun Hammond Morgan that I don't care.
Oh, that is a very yes. I can't argue with that. In fact, we can't beat that. And
the best pun that's been in this podcast
ever.
Today.
Ever. Sadly, it can't go anywhere else because it's going to be completely out of context.
Yeah.
If you can re Hi Morgan.
have to put up with this shit all the time.
Yeah, but look.
I think we should just end this before Morgan mugs John.
Again. Can I just point out that Morgan can wear a face mask without batting an eyelid. The entire president's family refused to, even though by law they had to. Anyway, on that note, we shall bid goodbye to the Time of Angels. We shall reconvene talking Saturday or Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah, whatever.
Saturday and Monday.
Saturday's not good for me, I don't think.
Okay, so possibly
Monday it is.
Saturday afternoon.
Oh, yeah, Saturday afternoon would be cool.
Saturday midday, possibly.
I like the fact this is now ambled into admin and not podcast stuff. And I don't edit this far into the podcast. I can't be arsed. Only an hour and 8 minutes. Well done, us. Right, on that, we shall be back to do Flesh and Stone at the earliest possible opportunity. Possibly Saturday, might be Monday. Who knows? Then we'll follow that up with The Vampire of Venice, because that's now in. In the meantime, we shall be saying goodbye to Hammond Morgan.
Bye.
And John.
Bye.
And we're saying goodbye to the behatted and bepunning Laura.
See you later.
And we will be back in a few days' time, assuming the world hasn't ended. Bye.
Thanks.